Father, thank you for this first day of the week that we can gather. Father, we just ask you to the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, in the New King James Version, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But our topic is verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It just seems like there's a trend going on in our churches anymore, like to be conformed to this world. Like Satan is trying to kind of bring the worldliness into the churches a little more than ever. It seems right now that it's more evident than I would say 10 years ago. You can go to churches where people are actually they tell you, first of all, like they're not married and they're living together. In this, most churches, it's almost acceptable. They're not told that it's not okay, or they are afraid to teach it in the pulpits. The conformity of this world, like through music, if it has Jesus' name, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? You had a trend to Christian psychologists or psychiatrists. If they pray before you go there, or a marriage counselor, just because they pray in Jesus' name, you know, they're going to resolve all the issues. So they have what you call almost like a learned behavior. If you just do these things, your life will be much better. Your marriage will be much better. So we have entered into that, what everything that we do is a learned behavior. It seems like a pattern that Satan has to basically infiltrate himself to the churches, not just the world, but the churches now. And not just on the United States of America, it's all over the world. You know, I speak to my family in Mexico and, you know, and find out how things go in there, and they're seeing the same thing all over. The young now, they have an open mind towards the world, towards TV, towards cell phones, towards everything that is new in the market right now. And it is huge. So all these kids that used to go to church ever because there was nothing else to do there but going to church, now they got excuses. Now they have schools on Sunday that you can go and take computer programs. Unheard of before. People are actually bringing their fruits to be sold on Sundays, which it wasn't there before. Because people are coming to the little town where I'm from, and they actually, trucks from all over Mexico City and around Mexico, they're trying to bring these trucks to be loaded with vegetables and fruits and stuff like that and taken out. And now they're coming on Sundays. So you see how the enemy has very infiltrated. So you take your mind away from the day that you set aside to go to church. And after that, and people that actually going to sell their products, they have to leave that evening. So they buy in the morning and they leave the evening to go to sell it. So church on Sunday is gone. Just like in the United States, we have on Wednesdays, we got soccer games. You know, that's when you do your most sports. See, the enemy is so smart. He's very slick, astute. So he's taking all those little things, and little by little, he's taking God away from the people that know his Bible doctrine. He wants that frame of reference to be less and less and less. And little by little, it's gone. Just don't go to church 3 weeks. See what happens to your Christian life. We have the tendency to drop the guard to do that. As believers, sometimes we have the tendency to be conformed to something. As believers, sometimes we have a are trying to conform to somebody that we like, to somebody that we respect, somebody that we think has an IQ, somebody who has a great business, somebody who, whatever, you know, a sport guy that is very famous, he's going to come to town or something, whatever. And we have the tendency to conform to what he is rather to what the Word of God tells us to do. God didn't say conform to the church. Paul didn't say conform to the church, you know. He said be transformed in the image of Christ. He said two different things. Yeah, because if we ask the church to be conformed with something, there's nothing good in the church, you know. Christ is the only one. So as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul also tells us, he says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. So act like men is not saying that women are going to act like men. But be on the alert. Stand firm. You know, that's two things. Be on the alert. And I think as believers, we're not being alert anymore. I think we're allowing the enemy to really take us captive. And it starts with our minds. Takes our minds captive. Next thing you know, we're practicing exactly what the Word of God is telling us not to do. And we start conforming to the world rather to be transformed into the image of Christ. And it's a trend. I think it's going, it's getting worse and it's getting bigger. And I think that's the platform for what he's doing into the religion as a one world order. Everything was going to look the same. I think it's dangerous. Because that's how he's going to try to attract the churches. And thus I believe that the Antichrist is going to be a very charming person. He's going to mix all the sacred with the unholy. And I think he's putting a platform just for that. But churches all over America, you know, they don't even... They try not to teach sin because it doesn't sound good. It's you know, doesn't attract people. What attracts people, you know, okay, conformity to the world. That's what attracts people. But not sin. Sin doesn't attract people. Like in biblical psychology, and also we have, you know, the world psychology. Then biblical psychology tells us that sin is the issue. You know, and the world psychology, they tell you it's not your fault, it's somebody else's fault. It's amazing. It's amazing. We know what the background of sin is, you know. But in psychology of the world, it says, no, it's not your fault. You got to remember, you know, what things started. So they try to bring your memory, all those things. What are we going to do about it anyway? See, for believers, Christ paid for the whole thing anyway, 2,000 years ago. It doesn't mean anything to bring it back to remembrance. Christ paid for it. So we see in the word be alert. This word in the Greek is the Greek word reuo. It's the present active imperative. It actually means to rise from something, to rise from sleep. It's like getting up. You know, that's what actually the word means. To rise up from the posture of sleep. I.e. from lying down. Keep being on the alert. Actually, that's what it says. Like, our alertness depends, basically, on how we understand Bible doctrine, you know. Like every Sunday, we just get up automatically. Because we know we're going to go to church. You know, nobody has to tell us, you know. We get up in the morning, on Sunday morning, we're going to go to work. But who is being alert? We're supposed to be alert. We're supposed to be like 24/7, and I think one of the things that is affecting us is Bible doctrine not circulating in our frame of reference. Even though we hear it, we may be full academically with Bible doctrine, but we're not mixing that with faith. And I think that's one of the things. You know, I think we got a lot of professional, I mean, students. They can write essays about it. Any unbeliever can do that, you know. But in this case, we have basically, you know, the Holy Spirit in us that says, look, be on the alert. The enemy is going to come and get you. The enemy is going to come and try to deceive your mind. And he will. It's amazing how our mind can just go through things. I'm not talking about sins or sexual desires or other things that people think are sins. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking just about how positive are we thinking. How fear enters our minds so quickly. Very quickly. How our jobs are going to be. What am I going to do tomorrow? You know? He attacks it that way. Very, you know. So, what are you doing going through that? In the Wizard Church. Oh, what is your plan? Or whatever. He's going to start attacking you little by little. And then, little by little, you start retracting. He's very smart that way. And the biggest churches, he attacks them differently. He attacks each person differently according to their capacity. You know, the people who have more capacity, of course, he attacks them tremendously different. The people who have no capacity, what he does, it's like playing hide and seek. He's right there, but he's telling you, come and get me, you know. I'm here. Or when sometimes, you know, like a child trying to find the older person, they don't really hide themselves, so they don't go in the basement and nobody can find him, you know. What they do, they hide behind a place. So what Satan does in this world, he tries to hide the doctrines, of course, from our hearts. You know what I'm saying? What he tries to do is for him to say, okay, you know doctrine. He's going to use doctrine. He's going to use doctrine. Like in you know, Jesus Christ, okay? He was tempted by Satan. He used doctrine. He used the Word of God. He's going to do the same thing with the mature believers. For the baby believers, guess what? They're already in his plate. But for the mature believers, he's going to attack much stronger. He's going to use doctrine. He's going to use doctrine. He's going to twist it. That looks very similar. Very similar. It just flips a couple words backwards. But you are the Son of God. Just turn the stones. God says that your feet are not going to, you know, basically, you guys do not allow you to hurt your feet on the rocks or whatever, you know. And he just actually twisted doctrine to let Christ basically fall under his authority. He does the same thing to us. He did that for Christ. Guess what can Satan do for us? But he says, be on the alert. So, we also, the other one is stand firm in the faith. That's a present active imperative. It's the word steko. It means to be stabilized. Christians have that issue. Not to be stabilized. Any kind of wind of doctrine can come and go. So you have to be stabilized in the faith. What we believe. On the faith that we believe. And what the Apostle Paul preached. My gospel. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My gospel. So, we need to be oriented to grace. Stand firm in the sphere of the faith. That's what it actually means. The faith is the whole realm of doctrine. And that's basically where we take our faith rest. Because if we have faith rest in that, what Christ did, we're going to rest. If not, we're going to do our own thing. When we do our own thing, we rest. We're not restful. But when we actually doing what Christ is asking us to do, guess what? Because we put everything on the cross before the feet of Christ, and guess what? Everything will happen. That the word actually, the third command is saying, it's a command of mental attitude. Act like men. This is a present middle imperative. So, the ladies are not supposed to act like men. He's talking about, you know, mankind. You know, it's talking about us. We have to behave, you know, like men, strong, firm in our faith. That's what he's saying. been supposed to be actually, it means somebody who is acting actually strong in the faith. You know, it's like a noble person. You can know a believer when he's actually walking under the control of the Holy Spirit, versus somebody who is not walking, you know, under the power of the Holy Spirit. You can tell a difference. You know, I always ask the questions, how does people look at us as believers? How does the unbelievers see us as believers? Scary sometimes. How do we see an unbeliever? But also, how does the unbeliever see us? Are we different? Unbeliever walking out of fellowship. You know, you can't tell a difference between if he's out of fellowship, just an unbeliever, or an unbeliever. Because all the things that they do, they're trying to achieve the works, the things of the flesh. Once they're out of fellowship, God is away from the frame of reference. But when you're in fellowship, we know that we hate the things of the world. That's why he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed to who Christ is. See, sometimes we can get so busy doing things in this world. We can get so busy showing off to Christ. Like showing off, I'm doing this for Christ. But is it transforming us? Or are we just doing it because there's something to do? Like going to church, you know. My dad used to say, we don't need to warm up these chairs. It's already plenty of heat here because it's about 95 degrees there. You know. But it is true though. You know, are we going to church as a habit? Or are we going to church to really be transformed by the renewal of our minds through Bible doctrine? Are we mixing that faith that comes through the Word of God? See, sometimes believers, we always use the word rhema, but they don't know how to use them. They get academic instruction through the Logos, which is the Word of God. But every morning is fresh. It's just like they do in the morning. As you read the Word of God, it pops up. And it's a promise for you to claim every morning. Your promise is not my promise. But you can claim it. You can claim that promise that you have. Every single one of us has a different circumstances every morning. And when I read a piece of doctrine, it speaks to me. The Word of God. Directly to me. You know, it's not going to be, I'm reading this for Dave. You know what I'm saying? I'm reading this for me. And the Holy Spirit speaks through His Word to me and gives me that promise. And I claim that promise. And if I claim it, God put it here for me to claim it. And I don't claim it, it's my fault. But if I claim it, guess what? He's going to give it to me. You know, either now or later on, but He's going to give it to me. But most of believers, we don't claim it. We don't claim it. I always tell people, we always hold the chair on and we say, we trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. And God says, let go. He goes, no, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And God says, let it go. And suddenly you let it go. And you see how God works marvelous things in your life. It's like the bike with training wheels. Don't take the training wheels off. But I trust you, Lord. We never want to take those training wheels off. God says, take them off and trust me. Just pedal. Just pedal. If you can just do that in a Christian life, you're going to see a tremendous change in our lives. Both, you know, in our personal lives and also as other people see us and be able to basically minister to them as well. He will open the doors. But if we can't take care of ourselves, how do you think we're going to take care of somebody else? It's impossible. See, we take that in, we eat it. You know, it basically works in our spiritual system, basically. We mix your faith with the Word of God. And then guess what? It immediately has to transform you to the image of Christ. It has to. Because that's what He said. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. Right? Because the Word of God is not going to turn void. So what happens is we take it in and it stays as academic instruction only. We don't mix it. And what happens? Something comes in our lifetime. A little struggle comes and we fall apart because we're not claiming that faith promise with the Word of God and just, you know, rise victorious because Christ is in front of us. We always think that we have to do it ourselves. We do it ourselves and we say, yeah, Lord, I did it. We always want to work on our own. We never give the credit to the Lord. We always, that's our nature. We always want to show the world that we can do it. We always want to show the world that we are more educated than others. We always want to show the world that we have a better job than others. That's in our system. So we do the same thing to God. And we don't give Him the glory. So we want to show Him that I can do it, Lord. I don't need You. Believers. As believers, we do that. I can handle it, Lord. And the only thing we have to do is to humble ourselves towards Him. Meekness and humbleness. And then He will do it to us. But through Bible doctrine, you know, it just put it toward the cross, embrace the cross, come in meekness towards Him. And He will do the rest for us. Even though it's a short little passage, we don't have to learn chapters a day at a time. One verse can do wonderful things in our lives. And we claim it. And we're going to see the difference. One verse. You know, sometimes the brain can only take so much. We take one verse and we say, Lord, I claim this promise. And we'll see what He can do. Amen?